We'd like to thank our friends at PwC for their support, partnership, and collaboration in making Retail Gets Real. Learn more about how PwC helps retailers at pwc.com.
You're listening to Retail Gets Real, brought to you by the National Retail Federation. Join us for a look inside the world's largest and most interesting industry. And now your host, Bill Thorne.
Welcome to Retail Gets Real, where we talk about the industry that impacts everyone, everywhere, every day. I'm Bill Thorne from the National Retail Federation, and I'm joined by my co-host, my colleague, and my friend, Sarah Rand. Hello, Sarah.
Hi, Bill.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Why are you good?
Well, I think this is going to be an interesting conversation.
I think it's going to be a very interesting conversation because we're going to be talking about something very interesting.
What are we going to be talking about, Bill?
Retail. So we're very, very fortunate that to talk about retail, our guest today is Rael Cohen. She's the Chief Creative Officer for Third Love. Welcome, Rael.
Thank you so much. Happy to be here.
So, Rael, retail, what kind of retail do you do?
So we, Third Love is an e-commerce brand. We sell strictly direct to consumer, no stores. And we sell bras and underwear. And we use data to provide a better shopping experience and better product ultimately to our customers.
How long has Third Love been around?
I've been with the company for 6 years. So I was the first hire.
And
so it's been a hot minute. And we have been launched as a brand about 4 years. It took us a couple of years to develop all the product and the technology.
So you've been in California for a while. What were you doing before you went to
Third Love. I was working at the teen retailer Charlotte Russe, which is also based in San Francisco. And before that, I had my own lingerie brand for a couple of years.
Oh, wow.
And before that, I was at Mervyn's, which a lot of people from California may know. I was there for 7 years and had several different roles there, primarily in lingerie and fast fashion juniors.
I have to tell you, I'm sorry to seem a little scrambled, but when we were doing our pre-meeting the other day, they were like, you know, Third Love. And I'm like, oh yeah, this would be really interesting, e-commerce. They're like, you know what they sell? And I was like, well, what?
He did not.
I had no idea. And they said, bras. I said, what do I know? How am I going to have a conversation about something I know absolutely nothing about? And yet, when going to the website and doing a little bit of research, it's not so much about what you're selling, it's what you're doing. I mean, it's very different from anybody else.
Absolutely. And I always tell men, you know, go do a little bit of homework, go home, ask your wives, your girlfriends, your sisters, your moms about their worst bra shopping experience, and then you'll get it. That's kind of what I always say to people.
Well, and we have a lot of women that work with us at the NRF, and it was interesting to hear the comments, the discussion we had. It's a discussion that you wouldn't
have. Poor Bill was the only man in the room.
It's a discussion you wouldn't have normally with your colleagues, but it was very interesting.
Yeah. So you're the Chief Creative Officer.
That's right. So I manage all the creative services teams. So the actual bra design, as well as visual design, art, photography, all of those departments. Yeah.
Why was now, the bra industry seems to be getting disruptive, right? Mm-hmm. And I think you guys were the first ones out there doing this. Why now? Is it the data? Is it just time?
Yeah, it's just time. I mean, I think it's a lot of things colliding at once that are working in our favor. It's just a really painful in-store shopping experience.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to do it. I mean, look at your laundry list of things to do, and bra shopping is at the end and you never quite get to it, right? You wear a bra for a year or two because you dread going into the store and having to deal with the in-store experience. So I think for that reason, along with the fact that there's one dominant player, Victoria's Secret, mm-hmm. obviously has a very strong presence in the US especially. It makes it an industry ripe for disruption and definitely one to bring online if you can solve, you know, the age-old fit issue.
And how do you guys do that?
Yeah, so we created a tool called the Fit Finder. It's an online quiz. Women can take it in the comfort of home, whether it be on their phone, tablet, on their computer. It takes a minute or two. And they answer questions about brands that they've worn, sizes they've worn, fit issues they have, even questions about their own body, like breast shape. And we use all of that data to recommend the best size and style for them in Third Love. And we have over 70 sizes. So we have a pretty comprehensive inventory. So when you compare that to the in-store experience of the cold, bright dressing room, this stranger, you know, you're half naked, she's in there measuring you, poking and prodding you. We've all kind of been there.
Not me.
Yeah, not you. but you can feel our pain. You can feel it, right?
But just describing it, I'm like, oh, that's horrible.
Yeah.
Sounds like a physical.
Exactly. It's not great. So when you compare it to that, it's definitely a great solution.
How do you guys get to know your customers?
Yeah, that's always a big question because people think of data as being so impersonal, but it's actually very, very personal. And I can give you a couple of examples. There was one that came across my desk a couple of months ago where a woman emailed us and her name was Hope. And she said, you know, I love you guys. I love your bras. I'm 50 plus. I'm young. I'm vibrant. And I really love you guys, but I don't see myself represented at all. You know, and I want to change that. And she actually took a picture of herself in her Third Love bra. She's not a model. You know, she's just a regular lady. She took a picture of herself and she emailed it to us. And we listened. You know, we had her come into the office. We asked her more questions. We had a photo shoot with her. And she's starring in our photo shoot in August for social. So it's that is a really great example of how we connect with our customers and how we do it on a very deep level. I mean, think about the in-store experience. What do you know about your customer? You know, she came in, she bought something, she returned something. You don't really know anything beyond that. So I think the companies that are really succeeding right now online are taking data and using it in a really personal way.
Wow. You know, it's very innovative what you're doing. And I'm assuming that's kind of in the culture of Third Love. Mm-hmm. What is that culture? I mean, it's not just innovation. What else is it?
Yeah, I think it's the whole concept of Third Love is if it's not easy, then we shouldn't be doing it. If we're not making it better for our customers, then we shouldn't be doing it. We put customers at the center of every decision that we make. And I know that a lot of brands say that, but I don't know that a lot of brands actually do that. And I can give you an example of that as well. I think, you know, your typical store experience or typical retail experience that's offline, you could only carry a set amount of sizes in the store. And you know, that may not be the best thing for your customer, but you have too many stores to think about and too many people coming in. You're not sure who's going to shop at that stores. But for Third Love, if we put the customers at the forefront of every decision we make, we can do right by them. And so Hope is an example of that. And adding additional sizes are an example of that too. We sell online, so we don't have to worry about the store footprint. We can order the minimum quantity and we can delight that customer, even if we only have a handful of them. And it's really little to no inventory risk for us. So I think that's kind of the ethos that we live by is like, is this the right decision for our customers?
You know, I think that it would be, you know, you've picked a product that you know, it's such a personal thing and that if you get it wrong, you lose that customer. I mean, you can't, if you get it right, you've got somebody that's going to be loyal because of all of that, what they've had to go through in the past. And they've just found this, you know, nirvana of, you know, purchasing something that is a very personal thing. And, but if you get it wrong, you know, they're gone.
It's so true. I mean, when you look at just regular apparel brands, you may shop with a single brand for 10 years and then you say, okay, my body's changed. I'm going to move on to this other brand that's kind of similar to that, but a little bit, you know, more friendly to my body. But with bras, it's not like that.
Yeah.
We can sell to women in their teens and 20s and we have customers in their 90s. And so you really kind of hit it right on the head, actually, because if you get it right with them, you have a loyal customer for life, as long as you keep listening to them. You
right.
can't just set it and forget it. But if you don't do good by them, then you can lose them, right? And that's why we have different initiatives and things that we do to go above and beyond to win a customer back if we don't get it right the first time, because sometimes we don't.
Right.
Right. And so I think being able to be honest with yourselves of, oh, we didn't get that right. How can we make it right? We know that it's worth it in the long run.
For sure.
So one of the things I thought was really interesting is that you're the head of design, but you're the head of design of the product as well as effectively the brand.
Right.
And that's not normally the same person
yes.
at a company. How do you balance that?
Yeah, it's always kind of say we use data to inform our decisions, and we're a design-driven company. It's data and design together. And so when you think about the product that we're designing, the way that we want to shoot it on a woman to have it on the website, the way we want to describe the product, the color names that we use, the advertising channels that we use, it's all connected, right? Could you imagine if we were designing a lime green, you know, bejeweled bra over here and then talking about the modern woman over there, right? Right? And so we kind of look at all creative as one ecosystem. And that really affords us to the higher level creative strategy, really, to provide a very cohesive end-to-end customer experience from the time that they first see the brand or hear about the brand all the way through to the time that they receive and wear the product. And so that's really what my primary role is. Of course, we're chocked full of really amazing industry leaders that lead all of those respective teams. But from a higher level creative strategy standpoint, that's where I kind of come in.
You know, a lot of the marketing for online products, well, a lot of marketing for products, period, is you see and you're like, ooh, where'd you get that? That really looks, I love how that looks on you. And that just doesn't happen with bras very often. I mean, maybe it does. I just don't know. whatever. Okay, so, how do you market? I mean, obviously word of mouth. Somebody likes the product. They're like, oh, you've got to try out this new site. Mm-hmm. It's really fantastic.
Yeah.
But what else do you do?
Yeah, word of mouth is really big for us because women do get together and they do talk about their bras. Even though you can't see it, you do talk about it. And if you get a bra that's great, it is really powerful. And you tell your girlfriends, your sisters, your mom, you're like, wow, you have to try this. But that's more of the grassroots part of it. How we get out there in a really big way is really through different social media channels. We do print advertising and out-of-home direct mail type advertising as well. Some things that are kind of considered old school are becoming new again. So that's been exciting for us. But we primarily on Facebook and Instagram. And we are, you know, as you guys know, obviously in society right now, we're going through a really interesting movement where women and groups of women are kind of finding their voices around topics that other people throughout history have told us are taboo to talk about socially. And whether it be other female founded brands or talking about their bodies or you know, condoms, tampons, like all those taboo things, right? That everybody was like, oh my God, they'll never talk about that on social. Bras kind of fall into that category. And so we really do see women who are broadly sharing their love for Third Love across their social channels. And that's really powerful too.
That's pretty fantastic. Yeah. When I say that, you know, you're at the table and your wife or your date says, I'm going to the bathroom. And then, you know, three other women get up and they all go together. I just I don't know what y'all talk about in there, but I can assume maybe it's bras. I don't know.
Politics.
Exactly.
That would be good.
Politics. I'm intrigued. You said you are doing some of the old school marketing tactics. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah. I mean, we're testing a lot of different things right now. I think as a digital brand and not really being tied to that in-store retail experience, it affords us the ability and the flexibility to test and try a lot of different things. And so it's a little too soon to talk about it, but we're just kind of in that testing phase to be able to send women a postcard if they clicked on something specific on their site and we're able to send them a targeted card for that specific product that they had clicked on, or even a catalog. We've done catalogs now for the last year and it's still relatively small for us, but it does offer that additional touch point to connect to consumers since you don't have that in-store experience.
Now you also do underwear. So it's bras, yes. Underwear. Are you going to branch out from that or is it going to be your focus?
Well, we always say, I mean, we obviously have a ton of data. We have over 600 million data points from the Fit Finder. Wow. So that's pretty powerful set of data that we could certainly utilize for other product categories. But if you ask anybody at Third Love, we're laser focused on getting a bra in every woman's hand in America and then beyond. And in order to do that, we have to continue to add more sizes and make sure that we have something for everybody.
And are you guys international?
We are. We have an international business. We're definitely more, the largest part of our business is in the US and we're more focused on that.
So you were in Ohio, you came to school in California, and you just decided this was your trajectory. This is where you wanted to end up. I I don't know if that's true, but that would be interesting if it was. What was your trajectory in your mind?
Yeah, I knew that I wanted to go to fashion school, and it was either going to be in San Francisco or New York. And so I had been to both places before. I decided to move to San Francisco. And to be totally frank, I finished school and I went to Mervyn's, that very large company at the time. We were owned by Target. I think there was 4,000 people at the headquarters in the East Bay, so wow, quite a big company. And they happened to have an assistant lingerie designer role. So it wasn't something that I specifically sought out. I knew that I wanted to design and that I wanted to be in product, but I immediately fell in love with it. I mean, it was the first time that I ever went to Paris to go lingerie shopping. I went into all those boutiques of those, you know, $400 bras that are literally pieces of art, you know, and you can't really wear them, but it was so inspirational. What do you do with them
if you don't wear them?
I mean, I guess there's a certain subset of women who can wear those bras for sure. But I think what I really enjoyed was that hat trick, right? And that I've really capitalized on at Third Love is bringing that kind of European aesthetic and those really beautiful items, but making it available and wearable to the masses.
Right.
Because if only a small segment of women can wear it, then I mean, that's nice or whatever. But I think as a designer for me, I've always gotten a lot of pleasure out of knowing that millions of women can wear the product that I design. That's just always really excited me as a designer.
Have you had the experience yet where you've been somewhere and all of a sudden people start talking about Third Love?
Oh yeah. And my husband too actually brings it up to me all the time because we have this signature pleated strap on our best-selling bra. And oftentimes women will wear it and you can see it. And he'll be like, I was out at this so-and-so event and I saw 10 women who had the strap and I was going to say something. I was like, no, don't say anything unless I'm with you. So there's that.
That's so awkward.
It's so awkward. I know it is. It really is.
But observant of him.
Yeah, observant.
Yeah. Well, it really is one of our signature details. And so I'll be at parties or events or even people's houses and they may or may not know that I work for Third Love. And I'll see a woman pull the strap out of her shirt. Look, I'm wearing this bra. Or if they do know I work for Third Love, they'll charge across the room, pulling their strap out. Look, and we've always kind of toyed with this idea. Should we be doing a show me your strap campaign or something on social media? Because women really, they do it all the time.
Show me your strap. I think that's a brilliant idea.
Yeah, why not?
I mean, right? If people are doing that, and if it's that obvious too, I think that's fantastic. So, Rael, we have a portion of this program. We're running short on time, but we call it rapid fire.
Okay.
What we're going to do is we're going to give you some questions, and you just come up with the first thing that comes to mind.
Okay, great.
One of our favorite segments on Retail Gets Real is rapid fire, thanks to our sponsor, PwC.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Sarah, kick us off.
What's always in your fridge?
Half and half.
And coffee, it sounds like. Okay, yep.
What is your favorite vacation?
Beach. Anywhere beach. Yeah.
There you go.
Last thing you bought online?
I think baby shoes. Yeah.
What song comes on the radio and you turn it all the way up?
Oh, geez. That's a hard one. I think anything by the Pretenders.
That's good.
If I gave you $1,000, where would you spend it?
I honestly wouldn't spend it. I think I would give it out to people on the street in San Francisco. There's so much of it, and free money is free money. Might as well share the love.
It's awesome. Must see TV?
Anything on Bravo. I know, guilty
pleasure.
Exactly.
What app can you not live without?
Oh, I just downloaded this dictation app, actually, that's really been helping me with presenting. And of course, I can't remember the name of it, but it's been clutch.
So, Rael, we're out of time, but I just want to say thank you so very much for coming on the program. It was very interesting. It's if people want to learn more about Third Love, where do they go?
Yeah, they go to thirdlove.com. It's spelled out thirdlove.com.
Very good. Sarah, thanks again. Great job.
You survived.
I know. Without turning red, starting to sweat.
This was fun.
I purposely didn't wear a blue shirt because I didn't want to see the sweat. And to all of y'all out there, thank you for listening to another episode of Retail Gets Real. We're going to post more information about the topics we discussed today on our website, retailgetsreal.com. where you can also find links to other episodes. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.
You've been listening to Retail Gets Real, brought to you by NRF. For more information about the National Retail Federation, visit us online at nrf.com.